Last time on the Dice of Thunder podcast.
Is on this creature's body sloshes off and onto you while it strikes you.
Oh,
oh no.
Arcana is a thing, but not for undead.
Occultism?
Oh,
is
no.
Also a thing, but not for undead. Duval gets a hero point.
Ooh, we're in trouble if he's handing out hero points.
Darnayru is blind and on fire.
Darnayru is blind and melting.
No.
I was trying to see if there's a way.
And ooh. Collapses in a heap to the ground as it dies.
Yeah.
From persistent damage.
Yes.
Excellent.
Bark is excited and then he realizes he's on fire.
I critically succeeded this time.
Boo.
Take no damage.
Boo.
But Varg's not on fire anymore.
Great.
Yay.
I am.
Boo.
Will you please freaking crit?
I hope I do.
Anyway. Oh my gosh, I did.
Yes! Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Natty 20. 20.
Yes!
Whatever happened in here was significantly more of a mess than it would take to create two of these things.
There's more.
I'd like to sneakily open up that door to the south.
Okay.
Seems pretty undisturbed at the moment. And it doesn't seem like I triggered anything. Well, what should I do here, dudes?
I think we just leave it.
Just leave it alone?
Yeah.
That's an option. Do nothing is always an option. Maybe we should empty the water.
So that we can not drown while we go down there? We might have to.
In the cistern.
And when that happens, two ghastly figures come floating through the glass, because they are incorporeal, as the entire room fills up with smog.
Oh, no.
And we need you to roll for initiative.
No! Take a strike at it, and we'll see what happens. I don't remember what it's immune to.
Roll to hit.
Another natty 20.
Yeah!
Oh! Nice. Everyone, remember, this is a game.
I have a whole week to figure out what I'm going to do.
We're playing and we're having fun.
And
it's
I have
fun.
Indigestion.
Smog wraiths are fun. Can't wait to go fight with my wife.
So much heartburn.
We're going to get just destroyed by these and then go meet freaking Persis.
New episode of the Dice of Thunder podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of the Dice of Thunder podcast. It is our 105th episode, which also means it is our... Which also means...
Dang it. It mean that.
Which it mean. It mean that it is.
Why use lot word when few word do trick?
Exactly.
Reading it. You can do this, Hoffman. Okay.
Can you?
Which means it's our 2-year anniversary as a show, as a podcast.
We did it.
Bananas.
Thank you, Thunder Buddies, for sticking around with us. It's a celebration.
Yes, it is. Hurrah!
We're in the third.
So enthusiastic.
We're in the third week of talking about why did you pick your character and plan them to be the way that they are, and we'll start off with why are you the way that you are? Greg, tell us why are you the way that you are.
Tell us what gives you the right.
I feel like, who do you think you are? I feel like mine's kind of the most boring, but here we go. This is just what it is. I'm going to be honest. I first knew that I wanted to create a rogue. Easy. I wanted to be the sneaky, thiefy kind of character. And then I thought, well, what kind of goes really hand in hand with that? When I looked at the ancestries, I was like, oh, a catfolk, Amran, it just kind of makes sense. And then if you're gonna pick a catfolk, and you played the game Skyrim, you're not gonna ignore the fact that the Khajiit are a thing.
No, you have to.
Yes, so they're
I think Khajiit transcends people who've played Skyrim.
Whether they know it or not.
Yeah, it's like Darth Vader. Like, people can recognize that that's from Elder Scrolls just by seeing a cat person.
Yeah, and so that was a huge influence for, like, how everything plays out. Now, there's a ton of different, when you, like, start to read Pathfinder lore about different ancestries, you learn a ton, because there's a lot written, but you learn so much cool stuff. And so getting to play into all of that side of things was kind of cool, you know, with, like, the different deities that the Amran kind of follow. But also, like, the fun little sayings, like, I joked on the... I didn't joke. I said it before. May the sun and moon shine bright and always light your path. Mm-hmm. That's, like, a coined Dar Nairu phrase. It's not from anything, but it's like an original thing to say, but it's very much in line with the vibe. Sure. Of catfolk and Khajiit ideas and stuff like that. So it's just a fun, like, world to dig into. And the deeper you dig into the lore from Pathfinder specifically, but also kind of sprinkle in a little Khajiit in there, makes it so fun. And it just made sense to put the rogue together with all of that. And so that's kind of for that side of Dar Nairu, that was the inspiration. For the psychic side, I didn't know what my second class was going to be when we started the show.
When we started the show, yeah.
I had no clue. And so it was, Scott and I were talking a bunch about it and kind of like messing around with the different caster classes. And I was thinking, how could I kind of make them a little more well-rounded, but kind of fun at the same time? And a little mysterious, psychic kind of made sense.
Well, we knew we wanted an occult based caster because we were missing an occult reference point. Not that every adventuring party needs to hit on all the different types of magic or anything in order to be successful, but in order for Dar Nairu's magic to stay separated from the other two casters in the party, picking an occult caster made the most sense.
Yeah.
So,
and also, it just, I think it married the best with a rogue.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that every person who is dual classing with a psychic involved has to do with a rogue. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm just saying it seemed to make the most sense. And we got to play story-wise if you guys remember way back to where Dar Nairu got his pendant that he wears, or the amulet that he's wearing, the chipped off piece of that altar.
Yeah.
Like, that makes sense. You're disrupting something. And we haven't even played out that story all the way.
No,
To know that, like, there's something at play here, and it tied into the story of him being a person who's, like, very curious, exploring these places and stealing things. So it all kind of came together well. So that's kind of like the putting it all together. That's kind of all of where it came from, the inspiration.
Awesome. I love that. And I wish we would have shared that sooner with our Thunder Buddies, because I think it's cool to hear where you guys all came up with your ideas for your characters.
Well, maybe we'll TPK
before
in this
we
dungeon.
Die.
Yeah.
Right? Exactly.
We'll have four new characters to talk about.
I'm not going to die.
You'll never die.
And it wouldn't be the Dice of Thunder podcast without a couple of quick rules references.
Ooh.
And we have a fat one.
I like rules.
Uh-oh.
In the past, it has not been very clear on how to handle moving around a corner. And I've often allowed diagonal movement, like through a doorway or around a corner, because it makes sense personally to me that it's just a diagonal square. However, when you deep dive all the way into the depths of the Chungus, you get under the folds of the Chungus.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That makes me feel uncomfortable.
Very personal.
Makes me feel uncomfortable.
So
being
intimate.
That deep in the Chungus.
Ooh.
Wow.
Interesting choice.
You find rules that essentially say that if any part of your token, or the square that your token occupies, really, moves through an obstruction, that movement is not allowed. And an obstruction is considered like a wall, an impassable terrain piece.
Because
you could move over a rock or a tree or a table, and that would just be difficult terrain. But when we're talking about obstructive terrain that you cannot pass through, then that movement is not allowed.
So you just have to go around it.
And you have to go around it. And that's the most simple way to say that you have to do the hard 90 corner when going through a doorway, around a corner.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense to me.
It does. When I found that little tidbit about how to take a valid movement through obstructions, because it's not in the, like, just general movement rules. It's in the, like, difficult terrain and obstructed movement rules. Well, Pathfinder is notorious for saying something once in chapter one and then not repeating it, even though it may be relevant to reference it in chapter eight.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to save as much space as possible, which is why we call it the Chungus.
It's already
gigantic, right? I apologize to Greg. I said, I'm so sorry, but all of your tactical movement is no longer allowed. And
in all fairness,
here's the tea and shaw.
I ask every time.
Yeah.
Before I do something weird
and
like
I've
that.
Totally
I'm like, is that
been
okay?
Allowing it.
So the only thing I, because as I was processing this as well, is attacking, I think, is different. I think that
you absolutely can
swing a sword through a doorway like
that.
Yes,
100%. You get cover based on how much of your square is hidden and obstructed by an impassable object. So it would be a +2 AC, anything that's attacking around a corner. would get +2 to their armor class. So I found that tidbit while I was researching that as
now,
well.
Now, I have a question about cover, which I think will come into play for all of us. Do you have to take cover in order to get that benefit, or do you just get more benefit if you actually do the action take cover?
The second one.
Cool.
Yeah, so if you're getting a hard cover from an object or an obstruction in the environment, you do not need to take any additional actions.
Cool.
Attacking through another player or a character space is automatically inferring a +1 soft cover or light cover, I think it's light cover. And so the attacking around a corner is hard cover, and then you can use the take cover action, which would be essentially tucking up against the wall.
Yep.
Right? And you get another 2 on top of that. So you would be able to increase your armor class by 4 if you take a single action to take cover while around a corner. So there's some advanced strategy there, because a +4 to AC,
that's a
20% change in the dice result, you're in a different spot on the curve there when you do that.
You're like 3 levels higher.
Yeah, exactly. From that alone. That's exactly true. You're gaining 3 levels. So that's the first one.
And that only works with a break of line of sight, because you can't be up against a wall. There's a wall to my back, and I'm looking at you in the room,
yeah,
and I can't take cover against the wall. You can. But only against range, correct?
It would only give you a +2 cover,
okay,
instead of the 4 in that case. But you can use the take cover action anytime that reasonable cover is available. So if you're up against a wall and you sacrifice an action to take cover against that wall.
So you're like Kronk in Emperor's New Groove.
Yes, it's very Kronky.
When he heads against the wall.
Yes.
That was the best moment ever.
What if you're tiny with a large companion?
You can take cover behind a large companion. I think that would be an acceptable use.
So can Kal-El provide cover?
I have been giving
everyone else,
everyone who's on the other side of Kal-El, a bonus to cover already.
Nice. Oh, we've been getting minor cover just from being behind player.
Yeah. But do you get more? Is what I'm saying.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Is Luton small enough to just stay inside Kal-El's ear and just like pop out every now and again?
Basically,
you're an earwig.
Yeah. You're like that worm from the Wrath of Khan.
She is covered in beetle armor, so
yep.
So
kind of basically a bug.
So that's our 2-year
gross
anniversary.
Cool.
Yeah, I know, right? Ew, and I love it. That's our 2-year anniversary tiny rules discussion up top. And then we have an open matter of discussion. There were a couple shock runes gained, and we're going to address this before we get into combat, because it will affect the rest of the campaign.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
2 shock runes that were gathered as loot at the end of the fight with the zombie hordes and the clockwork puppeteer, as you guys went through and looted all those associated rooms. Got the immovable rod and 2 shock runes.
Yep.
Hard earned.
Then they rested for 8 hours, which is not enough time if you're taking the rest and gaining the benefits of a rest to put those shock runes on a weapon if you're a crafter like Varg. Now, he's not creating these shock runes, so he does not need to have magical crafting in order to attach those to a weapon. So I put an option out to Jordan before the show, and I'll bring all the Thunder Buddies in behind the curtain. I said, Jordan, a.k.a. Varg Kinbiter.
Yes.
If you were to forego your rest and accept the fatigued condition, I think it is perfectly acceptable that Varg would use that time to attach the runes to the weapons of his companions in order to help them gain a benefit. Because a shock rune is a powerful item. It grants an extra D6 of damage on every attack with the associated weapon. And on a critical hit, electricity arcs out to deal an equal amount of electricity damage to up to 2 other creatures of your choice within 10 feet of the target, making it spicy dance weapon.
That's dope.
This is a level 8 item worth 500 gold pieces. It does have a greater option. The greater shock rune is a level 15 item that the electricity damage ignores any target's electricity resistance. Basically just says, so what? You have electricity resistance, it's too bad.
It's cast cool story, bro.
Yeah, exactly. Now that arcing benefit is on a crit, but in general, adding an extra D6 of damage die in any situation is a great opportunity. Like it's suggested that you do that whenever you can, right?
Yeah.
So, however, doing that means that Varg would be fatigued, and fatigued lasts until you rest again.
Yep.
So that would mean until the end of this entire dungeon, or until you guys are forced to take a rest.
Fall asleep in somewhere.
Yeah. Varg would take a -1 status penalty to armor class and saving throws.
Yeah.
And cannot use exploration activities while traveling, which would be...
Search. That's what he's normally been doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Normally, Varg does the search action, which would mean that Duval and Kairos are the only searchers. Now, Kairos has a great perception, but doubling the opportunity to see danger before it happens has certainly helped you guys many times over in the past. So there you go, Varg. That's what's on the table.
Mm-hmm. The decision is
the dance weapon
or all-nighter.
And who would whose weapon would these enhance? Like who would be getting a shock rune?
I think we talked about putting one on one of Dar Nairu's daggers and the other one on Kairos's bow.
Okay.
I like this.
Two guys that when they actually decide to use their weapons, usually don't miss.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Kairos misses way more than me, so don't look at me like that.
Wow, that's just
why are
rude.
You making this about
the same bonus to hit?
I got way more fans.
I have a +1 more than him.
Personal attack.
Kairos has way more fans on the Discord.
Oh yeah,
this is true.
100%.
So
it's absolutely true. Although putting it on your bow would be, I think, the best because you have pacifying on there now.
Yeah,
and you're not, and there's no, it's not really benefiting us.
Yeah,
I would replace the bleed, the wounding rune that's on mine, which does persistent 1d6 persistent bleed damage, which isn't really helpful against clockwork, so it would be helpful when I land strikes with this, with having this new rune on it.
Yeah. And the organic based enemies that you've been facing so far have all been undead, and you have the vitalizing rune on the other Flissa.
Correct. So I didn't want to get rid of that.
Right.
Yeah. So that makes sense to me, because Varg, you can't put it on yours because you already have the cool coil thing.
I already have the jolt coil.
Uh-huh.
Which uses the rune slot, right, for the weapon? Yeah.
Thinking as Varg, I think he would be fine with giving up a night's rest to ensure the success of his clan. He's going to be grumpy about it, but like he's not going to help search. He's like, oh, I'm too tired. You guys search. Just tell me when there's an enemy to hit.
I like that.
Oh, so, crabby Varg.
It doesn't affect his to hit.
The thing I'm most
nice.
The thing I'm most upset about is like I'm fine with a -1 to AC with the rework to rage. I don't have that -1, so it's not like it's stacking.
Right.
But having the -1 to saving throws,
it's pretty brutal.
Yeah.
A little worried about that, but
you do have a really high fortitude, and fortitude tends to be the dangerous save to fail, but reflex is also a really bad fail. So
Tank's gonna tank. So yeah.
Tank's gonna tank.
I have a question then. What would be your AC if you're fatigued?
25.
All right. So anytime I roll a 25, I will be sure to rub it in your face.
Wow.
Perfect.
This is the GM's way.
This is the way.
Remind you of your decision. So you're going to do it.
Yes.
All right. Then I will say, even though we're in the middle of combat, we're going to do a little retcon bump here. Dar Nairu, add the shock rune, and Kairos, add the shock rune.
We'll do.
I forgot we were in the middle of combat.
Yeah.
And I forgot it's against these terrible, horrible...
Two raids.
Enemies.
Episode 105.
So did I. I think I blocked it out from last session because I was just so upset. I was ready to walk out last session.
Yeah.
What are they called? The smog wraiths?
Smog wraiths.
You guys have fought these before on the Hellfallen Cliffs. You're fighting them again in the first sub-level of the Hydro Forge.
They're horrible.
Horrible.
You've passed a recall knowledge about them. I'll refresh this for the Thunder Buddies and for Gil.
Definitely not for me because I remember everything.
Yeah. They are resistant to all forms of damage. No matter what, they just have a resistance 10 to everything and resistance 20 against non-magical, mundane physical attacks. So they're very resistant to regular, because they're incorporeal. That's how that works.
Anti-corporate.
Yeah, exactly. Any source of damage coming from a positive energy or vital energy source or spirit damage goes through in full, but they do not have bonus damage from that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they are also not resistant to ghost touch, which I don't
think... Why do you got to keep bringing that up?
Because Janira. Janira? Janira? What was his name?
Janira Gavix?
Yeah.
No.
The ghost kid.
You mean Janaya.
Janaya.
Jedediah, who's definitely not a ghost.
He's 100% a ghost. It's canon now.
I've never seen him leave the property. I'll just say that.
There was a whole scene I manufactured where he was off the property.
I don't believe it.
Specifically so that you guys would stop investing so much energy.
We never will.
Janiah being a ghost.
Bring back Janiah. You know,
whatever.
To the fact that Janiah is a ghost. So we'll...
I can't. Fine, he's a ghost. There you go. If that's what you need.
I told you.
We'll kick off episode 105's combat starting at the top of round two. But before we do, go and join our Discord, everybody.
Yeah.
You can find a link to it on our website, diceofthunder.com. You can get an invite from another Thunder Buddy. So if you're on social media with them and you know that they're a fan, say, hey, do you have a Discord invite you can send me? There's unlimited invites there. We love to get everybody together in the community and chat about the show, but also chat about whatever. And we've got Thunder Buddies from all over the world now interacting with each other and sharing their passions and their ideas and their memes and their love for professional wrestling and everything else that we got going on in there. So we'd love to have you in there as part of the conversation. I've been posting pictures from the artwork from the Adventure Path in there. We just put a cast photo in there like just now.
Mm-hmm.
We took right before recording this episode. So we're able to interact with you guys a lot more through our Discord. We would love to have you in there, and we would love for you to invite anyone that you know is a Thunder Buddy or may not know is a Thunder Buddy, or you say, hey, I got this podcast, you should check them out and go look at their Discord too, so you can see what they're all about and just get in there and have fun. Like, that's rule number one at our table and in our podcast community, is to have fun, and we want you guys to do that, and we want you to meet each other. And I even threw up a couple of voice tables in there, so if you're playing Pathfinder, you can jump in and use Discord's chat to play Pathfinder together. Get on a VTT and get online and use that tool that's available. So anyway, we'd love to see you in there.
Yep.
And now I'm gonna kill all your heroes. So it's the top of round two.
Shumfalo.
Yes.
Shumfalo?
Shumfalo. We start off round two in the control room of the Tin Wound Hydro Forge with none other than fatigued Varg Kinbiter.
Man.
So let's see it, Varg.
Okay. 25 AC, -1 to saving throws. Let's do this.
Two out of three hero points, 136 hit points. He's going to live forever.
I'm doing all right. Varg is raging and overdriven, so he's sitting pretty good.
Yep.
To go into round two for this combat. So I can't remember which number the Smogwraith is, the one on the control panel.
That's number one.
Okay.
Okay.
Number one.
Okay, Varg is going to attempt a Megaton strike on this fool. Rolling to hit. Pretty low, 24 to hit.
That is a miss.
That's what I was afraid of. All right, we're going to do a regular swipe then.
Rare.
That is also a miss. Okay, never mind.
All right. That is Varg's turn.
Dang,
what
son.
A great turn.
Wow.
Do better.
I know. You were rolling real dice, huh?
No.
No.
This again.
this is a lifelong battle.
Disproven argument. Don't switch.
I'm not.
Okay. Darnayru, you're up.
Darnayru is going to stand here and do twin feint. First.
I'm going to stop you.
Yes.
Keep that. I need you to roll fortitude save, Jordan, because you're in the smog cloud.
I'm in the smog.
We're all in the smog, baby. Here we go.
First saving throw. Let's see what happens. 27.
A 27.
If you tell me it's a miss by one.
I hope it is. I'm looking it up because I want to make sure, because that would be so amazing. You're fine.
Oh, okay.
That's a critical success for Varg.
All right.
Because he's very Varg.
Good job, AI.
I Varg hard.
Natty 2 on my first attack, so 20. That's a miss.
Was that a real dice? I asked for you.
Thank you.
I always roll real dice, unless I can't count that high. So that was my first attack, which was a miss. The second one comes at the second map. Uh-oh, rolled a 9, so that's only a 23.
That is a miss.
And now I have a decision to make.
Absalom? ?
That is part of it.
It's on the table.
On the table.
It's never not on the table for Darnayru.
Just to run away.
It is a 30-foot radius, which you would need to move to a square that I have pinged in order to be out of the radius.
Okay, I couldn't make it that far in one full move. I have 30 feet of movement, but using our new rules, 90 degrees around there.
Can't go diagonal through a doorway.
Yeah. I would be 5 feet short. So what I'm going to do instead is, can I take cover against that, the console, since it's like standing on the console?
Yes.
I would like to take cover against that console.
The console is considered difficult terrain. You're hiding under a stool or just bracing yourself up against the side of the panel, and you are able to give yourself a +2 bonus
nice.
To AC until the start of your next turn, per okay. the cover rules as defined in the Chungus.
In the Chungus.
We haven't done that in a hot minute.
We haven't done that in a minute.
That sounded like a turkey.
Like a rooster.
Yeah, it was a rooster.
Yeah, I'm not kinda, sure what kind of turkeys you're
looking
at.
Yeah, bro, you're like farm fowl knowledge.
Sorry.
Your foul knowledge.
Your foul knowledge is foul.
I only rolled a 22 on my fortitude save.
That's good.
That's
which
a failure.
Is a failure.
You are it's just a failure, so guys. You are sickened one, and
oh,
you
man.
Are...
With a real die?
Of course.
Nice.
I always roll real die.
Keep it going.
I never give you
it's
shade,
it's sickened
though.
One, I and... I don't know, slowed 5? What is it?
It's not slowed. Get out of your hair.
Get out of your hero lab.
Gotta roll better, y'all. Let's roll better.
I forgot. It's sickened, and there is one other condition.
I'm looking it up right now.
Okay. And I'm putting on cover.
Get your hero out of my lab.
Get the corn out of my face.
Slowed 1. Sickened 1,
slowed
1.
Slowed 1?
Yes, sir.
This is terrible.
That's okay. That doesn't affect rogues.
Yeah,
you don't need to be fast.
Hilarious. So funny.
They're just naturally fast. And that lasts while you're within the cloud. That does not drop off automatically at the end of your turn like a normal condition drop. You can retch in order to clear the sickened condition on your turn, but if you stay in the cloud, it will come back.
That's my turn.
And that means it's my turn with that same Smogwraith, who's highly upset that it was just that weapons passed through its incorporeal body.
Its smokiness.
And it's like... that guys and it
that's what he okay. says
yeah okay. It reaches out with a noxious hand to attack. We'll let the dice decide. Darnayru,
yeah,
odds or evens?
Odds
on an odd. I will attack Darnayru. You always choose your own fate on this show.
Yeah,
keeps it simple. Thunder die says 5.
Hey, that's me.
The first roll to hit is a 29.
Hit
18 damage.
Whoa,
I forgot these things speak in full sentences.
In scary sentences.
Join me at the dark. Join me in the dark. Where we will crochet together.
They're in a knitting circle, my squad
rates. Oh, for sure.
Otherwise, it's rated R, because these things are terrifying.
They are scary.
That's the first attack. The second attack against Darnayru is a 33 to hit.
That's a hit.
14 damage.
Goo.
And this is all poison damage. Third strike against Darnayru is a 19, is a miss. And that is the end of the Smogwraith's turn, bringing us to the all-powerful Luton, Sorcerer Supreme.
I would like to remove my Kiki.
Okay.
Also, I would like to cast 2-action Blazing Bolt. Can I do all these?
You can do all those things. What order would you like to do them in?
Remove the Kiki.
All right. So you command Kal-El.
To go out in the hallway.
One quick question.
Yeah.
Because Kal-El has a lot of movement, and when you command him, it's 2 actions.
Okay.
It could be his bonus action to move away, which would just be 1 action.
I mean, Luton is standing in the hallway.
Yeah.
He's taking damage.
Yep.
So maybe I just let his movement be a bonus action to move out.
And then Luton would have her full 3 actions to do whatever she's going to do.
Okay.
I'm just want to...
Yeah.
I know you would want to be as advantageous, but would you like Luton to take her actions first then?
So I'd like to do the most deadly blazing bolt possible.
Wow. Ooh. That would be... That
all
is
all the actions.
Yeah.
All the points.
It's a signature spell, which means you can cast it at level 5.
Damage, please.
Yeah, exactly.
I have done nothing wrong ever
in my entire life.
This I know. And what I will tell you is that you only need 2 actions to cast the most powerful version of Blazing Bolt at ranked 5. You only need 2.
Okay, what's the 3rd action version then?
If there's a 3rd target.
Oh, okay. The 3rd bolt.
How you could target me with the 3rd one, put me out of my misery.
There you go. take him all the way down.
Just end it now.
Let's keep the morale. Okay, Blazing Bolt against both roll. Smog Breaks. Yeah,
roll
right?
to hit. Two rolls to hit, please.
What's the power word for Blazing Bolt?
Burn, baby, burn.
Nice.
All right, here we go. Roll to hit one, 32.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's a hit.
Okay. Second, 33.
Those are both hits.
Yeah.
Okay, so that is an extra 2d6
per
added
level.
To the 4d6. Wait.
We always do this wrong because okay. you have to read past the initial text because the second paragraph says, for each additional action you use when casting the spell, you can fire an additional ray, and these attacks each increase in damage.
Your so multiple attack penalty.
Yeah, which after you cast. So if you were to do another attack type action, it would be at your third map. However, these are both at your first map. If you spend two or more actions casting the spell, the damage increases to 4d6 on a hit. Okay? So heightening, you get an extra 2d6 for the two action version per heightened level. Yeah. It's a level 2 spell, so she's heightening it to... She's heightening
five.
It three times, right? That's uh-huh. an extra 6d6.
Yeah.
So it's
on
10
top
d6.
Of 4d6.
Okay. Oh my goodness.
Which is 10 Dang. D6, yes. These we always have to like sound it out on this spell. So we're doing 10 d6 to each smog rate.
I have to just, borrow dice every
just
time.
Just hit them both for 60. Let's just
okay,
do that.
So
huh?
six, I like
it. Get it over with. Just kill them.
10 d6.
10
right,
d6.
2, 4, 6, 8, 10. Okay.
Which is a 35 average damage. We'll see how well Luton rolls against the statistical average.
Which is what?
35.
This is a good roll.
Oh, it's real dice too, right?
Always. She always rolls real dice.
That's wild.
She started looking at the dice roller for reference, but still just rolls real dice.
I did the same thing.
38.
Against okay. Smogwraith 1.
Yes.
Nice. All right.
I roll again for
Roll again two. For Smogwraith 2. Two different yes. bolts. So just a touch over better. Average.
Let's do better than that. Oh, I feel like this is better.
That is a yeah.
It's better, right?
Yeah. There's not okay. a single one.
It's the fingies.
Okay.
You cast fingies on her dice?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You guys are so awkward.
It worked.
44.
44.
Yeah. Yeah.
Smoked him. Wow. So Smogwraith 2 takes 44 damage. And would you describe your kill against Smogwraith 1?
Yeah!
What?
Are you serious?
Smogwraith 1 had 36 hit points, and you dealt 38 damage.
Oh, yeah.
Don't play that yet. Smogwraith 2 still alive.
I know, but that was amazing. We are celebrating that. That is so awesome.
So Blazing Bolt is a ray of flame, basically. So it shoots out, zaps them both. And one of them just turns into smoke and disappears.
Dissipates.
Yeah.
What a sad death. Yeah. Like when you knock over a mushroom in the forest.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You smoke me, I'll smoke you.
That's right. Yay.
Well, that's
I'm
quite
so
a turn.
Awesome.
You still right. have an action left, of course.
What?
Oh, of course.
I thought I did. Oh, I only did two. You're
yeah.
right. Okay.
The definition of a glass cannon.
For sure.
You look it up in the dictionary.
You have
it
a straight Luton. Line of sight onto Smogwraith 2 through the doorway. Luton's standing in the doorway and out in the hall. Just, it's like, what's that meme that's...
So anyway, I start blasting.
No, the I froed up meme.
When oh, you're, yeah.
When you're like a tiny little... It's like a meme of like Dobby yeah. standing in the hallway. I froed up.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
what
yeah,
Luton
yeah.
is. She's like this little tiny creature standing yeah. in the hallway, only she throws up death.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to use a focus spell and just do elemental toss. It's 60-foot reach.
Now, this is a third map, because this will be your third attack.
I understand.
So that's how that works.
Yeah.
We're seeing it in action for the first time.
Natty 20, yeah. baby. Let's go.
Let's my, see. 14.
On the die?
On the die.
That's pretty good.
Plus 7.
21. 21. That is a miss.
Miss. Okay. Well, I tried.
You and your fingers.
And Kal-El, with his bonus action, will scooch on back down out of the...
Oh, he like left town.
Room okay. and out of the... Well, that's as far as he can go to
Bye.
Get out of the radius of that Smogwraith.
Okay, yeah.
So he is no longer in the Smogwraith's deadly smoke radius. But I need Luton to roll a fortitude save, because she is... Oh, wait. I need you to roll a DC 5 flat check on those two strikes.
Conceal.
Because they're concealed.
Oh.
You want me to do what?
Roll a d20 twice.
And roll over a 5 both times.
And if you don't roll over a 5 on the first one, that first Smogwraith's still alive.
No pressure.
13.
All right. Roll it again for the second hit.
16.
Should I use the same dice? Okay.
This was the 44 damage hit. This was the big one.
18.
Oh, okay, so the dice have spoken and all is right. Thank you, Thunder Buddies. I could feel the retcon.
Okay.
Actually.
And what? Fortitude save, you said?
Yes, a fortitude save now for being in the nasty, nasty.
Okay. Ooh, a natural one.
Do you have your points?
Is now the time to use
it? Yeah, now is the time.
Is now the time to use it? I don't know.
Good question.
I think so.
What? So that's 16? That's a fail?
Yeah.
It's a critical fail because it's a natural one.
Okay.
You're gonna be like sickened two and slowed two or something.
I'm
crazy.
Using your point.
Mm. All right.
How about I'll throw you away after that?
Not me, the die, everybody.
Or well, maybe. 19. Maybe.
There on the it die? Is.
Yeah.
Wow.
Plus 17.
How does she do that?
There
she
is. Hero point.
The hero
but
point.
Like the hero point flips it. So it's a 36. It's a critical success. You're fine.
Yeah. Yay.
She went from critical failure to critical success.
I'm using
success.
Hero points how you're supposed to use them.
That's true.
Thanks, Scotty D.
Insane.
Yeah, thanks, Scotty D.
Yeah, that, at Scotty D's prompting.
Also, shouldn't these I be getting are... 2 hero points technically each time you award hero points?
What are you talking about?
I have a cat. I'm playing 2 characters at
it's
once.
It's the Smogwraith's turn.
I'm just saying.
Stop.
That's a great Duval argument.
Are you at the Duval Gibson School of Pathfinder?
I am. I pay very close attention.
Oh, man. She's auditing the courses.
I'm still waiting on my diploma.
Smogwraith 2 is going to take an action now. And we've got a Varg and a Darnayru left in the room. We're going to let the dice decide one more time. Varg, odds or evens?
We're going to go even again.
Evens, I attack Varg with this Smogwraith. The Thunder Dice says 9.
Oh, man.
I'm going down.
With its first action,
going down, down.
It creepily
with
glides.
The town.
Finish it.
He can't.
Darn, Nairo, you're going down swinging.
And missing, yes, I know.
I'm going to allow that.
That's good. I liked it.
Rolling to hit against Darnayru with the Smogwraith after it takes one action to move up with its noxious hand, trying to turn you into an undead puppet.
Stinky.
31.
That's a hit.
That is 23 damage.
Ooh, that was a good one.
Oh.
Ew.
Natty one on the second die.
Yeah.
That's the end of my turn. Kairos Duvalo to finish off round 2.
Yeah. So I'm going to move myself so that I am in front of the door so I can get a straight shot on Smogwraith. That's one action. And with my final 2 actions...
And we know that he can stand in the same square as Luton because that's
correct.
Cool.
That is correct.
Luton's a teeny weeny.
He steps on Luton, but still...
He's riding her like a piggyback style.
And I don't believe I can do a spell strike.
I believe you can.
You believe I can?
Or did you spell strike and not concentrate?
I don't remember. I'm going to say I didn't concentrate.
Well, here's what I want to tell you.
What do you want to tell
because
me?
Because I do like to help you guys out with so that your tactics match your intention.
Yeah.
You did not need to move to be able to see the Smogwraith.
Oh, then I want to go back.
There we go.
So what I'm going to do is, because I can still see the Smogwraith from where I am.
Yes.
I'm going to concentrate.
It will get cover because it is through the doorway.
Bring it.
Okay.
Concentrate, and then we're going to do a spell strike with Holy Light.
All right.
You know.
Turn on the magical color light.
And I can see him. I got a shock rune on my situation. I'm just going to roll a hit.
Did you name your bow The Situation?
I should have.
No, I think that's trademarked.
Yeah.
Is it? Did he really trademark
I would. If I was
100% I would.
Yeah. Sure he did. I trademarked Dice of Thunder.
That's true.
Beautimus. 34? Is that right? That's not
16
right.
And 16 would be 32, 33,
34. Yeah. Ooh. I don't know. Some public school.
I have 2 to my AC.
Math is hard, but I got 34.
It's still a hit.
Yay!
Yeah. Yeah.
With a Holy Light? Or a Divine Lance?
Holy
or,
Light.
Yeah, wow.
It's coming.
Beefing it up.
So 2d8 plus 2, and then I'm going to do 1d6.
So the 2d8 plus 2, I do get resistance against.
Maybe. That's a 7, 9 on the 2d8 plus 2.
Okay. And the d6?
5.
five shucking.
Five shot. Right.
All right.
And then now we're going to do the...
Just so you know, I resisted all of that damage.
Actually.
And I did take the resistance for Luton's attack.
Now, for by the way, resistances, everything comes together, right? You add it all together?
No, it resistance per source of damage.
Oh.
So it's not all in... All totaled up once and then resisting.
Because sometimes it'll tell you to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. This is per source of damage, the resistance applies.
Is this an unholy creature?
Yeah. This part, the divine lance, is what I'm worried about because that all goes through.
It's holy light.
Yeah. Holy light.
It's an unholy creature.
It is.
So what this says is you shine a blazing ray of light. I'm going to do it like a newscaster. You shine a blazing ray of light tinged with holy energy. Making a ranged spell strike, the ray deals 5d6 fire damage. If the target has the unholy trait, you deal an extra 5d6 spirit damage.
Yes.
So that's a lot of damage.
It sure is.
That's 10d6.
Now here's Greg with the weather.
Let's go.
Can you roll them separately, though?
It's right sideways.
For me, please, so I know which one's which.
If you like, let me just...
I do like.
Okay.
But do you like
it? I like it. Okay. Me like it.
BL5s. 19.
On the fire damage?
On the fire damage.
Ooh, wow. Okay.
Oh, this is major. 23.
On 5d6?
Yeah.
Let's go.
Oh, my goodness.
That's a really good roll.
Incredible.
Oh, felt good.
That is the end of your turn.
End of my turn.
It is the end of round two.
Do I need to roll something?
You do need to roll a fortitude save. And I need you to roll a DC 5 flat check.
I keep forgetting
to
about
see
that.
If any of that goes through at all.
You gotta have us do that first.
I do. I
got 9.
Okay, you're good.
Okay, good.
It's actually a little more fun afterwards because I might be able to be like, nope, sorry, none of that goes through.
And then you want me to roll something else?
Fortitude save.
Don't I have like a fortitude? Like I'm like, I got 25.
That is a success. So you are just sickened 1. You are not slowed. And we start round 3 with Varg Kinbiter.
All right, the first thing Varg is going
to... Oh, yes.
Hold that. What if I'm already sickened 1?
Then you're sickened 2. And you had a regular success the first time you passed this save. So you're sickened 2.
Got it.
Is he still in the smog?
He is still in the smog. Indeed.
We're all in the smog.
The first thing Varg is going to do is...
If it was an emanation, he would not be in it. Sorry. The first thing Varg can do. That's what you said.
All right, the first thing Varg is going to do is move behind the smog wraith. So it's flanking with Darnayru.
Oh boy, here we go. Advanced tactics. Did you give yourself 2 AC on those last
I did.
Attack rolls? Okay, good.
And I found how to give cover on Hero Lab, which was tricky.
And then he's going to get a critical strike with a Megaton.
Let's go.
No, he's not.
Flat check.
Well, let's see if he even hits.
25?
25's a miss. Oh, wait, no, you're flanking.
Yeah.
A 25 is exactly a hit.
Yes.
Yes.
Its AC is 27.
Oh.
So the flank lowered it to 25.
Nice.
Oh, so good. Okay.
I need a DC 5 flat check.
Come on, Gordon.
33.
Hold on to your damage. I need your DC
5. Oh, yeah, because of the... Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. 6.
Oh, my gosh.
With a real die.
Hey. Right. Welcome to the game.
33
damage.
Is any of that...
2 of that is caustic, and then vitality.
The vitality is a persistent vitality damage on its end of its turn. But so make sure you set aside a die for that. But 33
total.
All right.
Opportune backstab.
Yay!
You know what? I'm really sorry, Jordan.
What?
Before you take your opportune backstab, I just want to narrate how this all went down. So 33 damage from 2 different sources means it takes 21. Hit points of damage because the caustic goes away because it's only 2 damage, and
okay.
which is 31 from your megaton strike, which gets reduced to 21 because it's 10 off.
Okay, that.
It's got 22 hit points.
Oh,
so you did not get this kill because of 1 hit point.
Oh, watch this! I'm gonna roll a 4.
That's
on
okay.
My,
you know,
on my conceal.
The team got this kill.
You're incredible.
The team got this kill.
It's going to happen at the end of its turn either way because of your vitalizing your damage. As minimum is 1.
Sure.
So you may get the kill.
He could Luton's, kill me.
Darnayru is next, and then Luton. But Darnayru has an opportune backstab. He needs to steal Darnayru, this kill.
Darnayru, I'll let you finish this one off, little guy.
It's just amazing.
Do you want me to roll the flat check first?
I want you to roll the hit because I like taking away the hit. with the flat check.
I rolled a 12 on the die plus 17, so 29.
That is a hit, because AC is 20.
So flat 25. Check now?
Flat check now, please.
A 3, see?
And you missed.
I told you.
And now I am full.
That is so that was my whole opportunity.
That is the end of Varg's turn, but it is Darnayru's turn now.
Yes.
Oh, and I need a fortitude save from Verge. Oh, no, I don't. You critically succeeded. You are immune to that condition.
Is that true?
If you critically succeed against a noxious cloud, you are immune to it.
Didn't I critically succeed last time, which is why I had no effects?
Maybe.
So that means I shouldn't be sickened right now.
Are you? I'm sickened.
Anyway, let's see if I can kill this thing. It does take away one to hit, so that's why I don't like that.
Well, let me double check. I might just be making crap up because I like making crap up.
That's the truth.
As a GM.
I will waste a hero point to make sure this natty 20 happens because I just rolled
it. No, there is no critical. I do need a fortitude save from Varg.
Okay.
Let's get fortitude. 32.
That is a critical success.
That is a critical success.
Way to roll, team. Gotta believe.
I rolled a natty 20.
Oh, boy.
And I will waste my hero point to make sure this goes through if I miss the flat check.
DC 5, flat check.
It's going to be a 7.
He literally called it. It's a 7.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay. So a natty 20.
Duval Gibson. President of the 5% Club.
I elected myself.
Okay, so I have to tell you all the types of damage.
I mean, you don't. It's got one hit point.
Yeah, it's dead.
Please.
20 times 2 is 40, and that's not any shock damage yet.
Roll your shock damage.
Shock damage is 2.
I resisted all of that. Yeah. Get wrecked.
That is
dang
dumb.
It.
And the creature dies.
Yeah!
Yeah! Great job, team.
Hurting. I immediately start barfing.
You guys are able to... You can remove your conditions other than fatigue.
You all did such a great job. I'm taking you out for a pizza party.
Yay.
Is that fatigued or slowed?
You deserve it.
Both. You shouldn't have fatigued at all. You should just be sickened and slowed.
The real question is it pizza by Alfredo or Alfredo's pizza?
It doesn't matter, right?
The same.
Oh, it matters.
It matters.
Oh, it matters.
Okay, Darnayru is down to 43 hit points. So
yeah,
maybe.
You know, this is when it's appropriate to take a few moments to do a treat wounds and heal Kal-El all the way up.
Yeah, we should get Kal-El in there too.
Okay, so I have a spell just for him.
Yeah, so what usually happens at the end of combat is we just say Kal-El goes to max because she can burn that. She's got 3 focus spells, and then using nature, like to treat wounds, regenerates her focus. So it's kind of like a automatic built-in recovery of her focus points.
Nice.
Alrighty. Roll a quick treat wounds on Darnayru just to see if we can DC 30 treat wounds, Luton, with your natural medicine.
8. So 31 total.
That's a success. Darnayru gets 2d8 plus 30 health.
Whoa.
Dang.
She just grows all of your missing... health back.
9 plus 30.
So 39. Now I'm at 82 of 98. I mean, we could just keep moving and I'll just risk it.
Darnayru may need to appeal to his healer in order to get some healing.
So yeah, I'm going to heal you.
So you could do a level 1 heal.
Yeah.
And give him a d8 plus 8. Got a lot of level 1 heals.
16.
He boom. Rolled a natty 8.
Maxed it. Okay, so you're full almost. Yep. With 2 hit points down or whatever?
No, I was down 16.
Oh, perfect. There you go, Shumfall of 5.
The magic of healing.
Varg's down 9 whole hit points. Moving on.
So one level 1 heal spell is 1d8.
The minimum healing gets him full.
Okay.
All right, so Varg is now full hit points. What do you guys want to do? I'm assuming you want to investigate this control room a little bit more. Well, you already know that you already used it to
its
advantage. There wasn't any loot. That's right. So
we got attacked after we did the thing on these consoles.
Going back to the Hydro Forge...
Let's go.
You're staring at a 20-foot-long hallway that the party is in.
Mm-hmm.
There is a door to your right, 15 feet down the hall from the control room. It is locked. There is a door at the end of the hall.
I feel like we should investigate that door to the right. So if Kairos wants to check it for traps, and then maybe I could try to pick the lock and see what happens.
And I'm detecting magic.
Checking.
There is an aura of magic
okay. That
comes from the other side of the door.
Do I know anything? Can I do a recall knowledge?
Nope.
You just know,
I just know there's
magic.
Something magical. You know,
yeah, there is an aura of magic on the other side of the door.
Guys.
Coming from a fist-sized source.
There is a fist-sized source of magic emanating from this door.
Another Luton?
Man, try to say that three times fast.
Another Luton? She doesn't cast that spell.
Is it good Luton or bad Luton? No. That's what I need to know.
Don't give me ideas.
I don't want to fight bad Luton. No.
I don't want you guys to fight bad Luton. Maybe that's how I finally do it. That's how I win at Pathfinder.
I roll a 21 on my door check.
The door does not appear to be trapped.
Okay.
Does not appear to be.
I love being vague.
Yeah, it does not appear to be.
You roll a natural 20, I'm going to tell you that too, right? Or maybe I'll tell you something different.
Right.
But with a 21, the door doesn't appear to be trapped.
So Darnayru is going to attempt to... I do have wary disarmament, so I do get bonuses if I do set off a trap. Does it look like a really hard lock or like a really high-crafted lock? Do I notice any of that?
I need to figure out a way to deal with this because determining what the lock level is, I feel like that should be automatic. Because isn't anything in the rule book that says that identifying a lock requires a check.
You know, I guess it doesn't matter if I knew if it was a good lock or bad lock. It's just, you're like, you heard something happen, but it's still not unlocked.
You're just going to keep going until you get all the tumblers, right?
Or I get frustrated and leave.
Yeah. Although I do think that it makes sense for you to be able to identify a lock's level.
Sure.
So I'm going to say that if you want to use an extra roll... It would be a thievery check to identify the level of the lock.
I think I'd just like to try to unlock it.
But if it's a high number, it doesn't count towards a success.
Right. That's what I don't
want
to do.
That's your trade-off.
Okay. I'm not going to try to identify it. I'm just going to try to unlock it.
This is an action that can be aided. We've never talked about doing that either.
Oh, help me out, bros.
Oh, I can aid. What is the...
It's a thievery check.
Got an 18.
Hey.
Remember that critical fails are a minus to the roll, but that's a plus one from Kairos.
I'm not going to roll that.
Okay.
I only have one plus one.
You want me?
I'm going to roll thievery to help me out. I'm going to try to unlock this locked door.
Natty one.
You.
Oh.
Loser.
Erasing the bonus from Kairos. So
ask
you're on your own,
darn
Irene.
That's a question. That's a 6 on the die. That's not very good. Thievery is 19, so 25.
Click. The first tumbler of the lock unlocks.
Something's happening. This isn't my first time doing this.
Keep going.
Can I hit him
I roll
on the
again.
Second one?
No.
Natty 17 plus 19.
Ooh.
So 36.
That's a critical success.
Ooh.
Click, click.
Two tumblers.
Two tumblers unlock.
Oh, this room is...
That's three tumblers.
This is a very good lock.
Good math.
Thank you.
That's a natty 20.
Oh!
39.
And the last tumbler unlocks with a resounding and satisfying noise as the lock turns over and the door is no longer locked.
Sound
an average lock defeated by Darnayru.
What was the sound?
Hero point.
Yay!
That's the sound.
The sound of hero point.
Sounds like when someone pops up a fresh Sprite and takes a drink.
Music to my ears.
Four satisfying click noises?
Yeah.
And a hero point.
And a hero point. That's the...
Exactly. Okay, now the door is unlocked. Do I hear anything behind it? Can I do a little...
You don't hear anything.
Okay. But we just detected magic. All right, Luton, get in there. Just kidding.
We know there's magic.
Varg, would you like to do the honors, or would you like me to...
Who's going in?
I ain't scared.
I am a little scared.
Varg enters the room and sees 3 + 2 striking runes.
Oh!
Greater striking runes.
The door opens and Varg busts into the thing, swinging Kinflenser over his head. I will describe it for you. You see the bottom of a maintenance shaft, which if you look up, you see that it extends all the way to the roof level. There's another level above you. And you can see the maintenance shaft access hatch from the roof 2 floors up.
Ooh.
It's a small room, just 10 by 10. It's about the size of an average bedroom. Or Kal-El. Or one Mega Jaguar.
It's basically a litter box.
For him, yeah.
Yeah.
God, what are his dukes like, bro?
They're core as size. Big as Kairos.
They're logs. Remember those logs you light on the...
Oh, yeah.
The lighter logs?
Yeah. That big.
How do we always end up at poop?
Always.
Everything ends
I don't
poop.
Like it.
Yeah, scatologically speaking.
Everything ends at poop.
Who said litter box? Who was it? It was you.
It was the AI
roller. Who's a cat for a companion?
Also you. You told Brittany to
I
do
did,
it.
I did. I basically forced her.
Who's this person in here?
You do see a gnome curled up in the corner, trembling in complete and total fear. She's paralyzed.
Not dead.
tired, looking all like worn out.
His eyes are all bloodshot. Just looks insane.
See, that was at least 120 decibels. You know what I mean?
I missed my nap, but you're going to pay for it.
This person is the size of a fist?
No, there's an aura of magic on this person the size of a fist.
Ah. Hmm. Okay, Varg, you're in the room.
Who are you? Who are you?
Oh, please don't.
Who are you?
Don't hurt me.
Oh. Where is she?
My name is Gloriana. Gloriana Button. Oh, please don't hurt me. I am an engineer here at the Hydro Forge. Oh gosh. I've been hiding in this maintenance room for a week at least.
Whoa.
Goodness gracious. Tell me, is there anyone left alive?
A week? God, I'm sorry for scaring you. Calm down. We're not here to hurt
Lord,
you.
Lord, what are you?
We are the Shumfall of Five.
Criminals!
No, it's okay. We're nice criminals. It's okay.
Heroes, some would say.
Oh, you know, every party has a face. And that's the person that usually has the highest diplomacy score. Who at this table is Luton.
Yeah.
He never talks. The party face is the barbarian with the lowest diplomacy score.
I love it. It's amazing.
We've come to investigate what's been happening here.
Oh. And loot the place, no doubt, but that's fine. You can have whatever you come across. Just please don't.
If there's spoils along the way, then.
No, Darnaru would step in and just gently put his hand up to Varg. And can I do something diplomatic to try to calm her down?
Yes, roll a diplomacy check.
It's okay. We really mean no harm. I rolled a natural 7.
Flashing your claws.
That's not flashing your claws.
I'm getting soft paws.
I would like to aid that.
Oh, that's a great idea.
So would I.
Yeah, I'm going to need it because I only got 20.
That's okay. An aid from Varg.
12.
Musters all of his diplomatic energy.
I got a 2.
31.
A 31 is a crit success. And what's your training level in diplomacy?
I am a master of diplomacy.
That is a plus 3 from Luton.
I got a 16.
And plus 1 from him?
Yeah, so plus 5 total.
And I rolled a 21 total, so 26.
26. She visibly starts to relax a little bit and says, oh my goodness. I thought for sure I was a goner.
There.
We mean you no harm, but we are very curious. Do you know what is happening here?
Oh my gosh. It was horrible. I didn't see what happened. Just suddenly I heard screams from the lower levels. And the next thing I know, people are running and screaming. My coworkers are headless and trying to kill everyone. Zombies were chasing people. One moment you would see someone screaming for their life, and the next moment they were trying to rip your face off. I grabbed a bag. I grabbed what I could and had my lunches for the week stored in it. And I ran and I scurried into this area. Once I got here, I tried to climb out of the maintenance shaft, and I learned that there were already zombies that had taken over the entire facility, so I just locked the doors as best I could, and I holed up in here. I was trapped until just now. I just ate my last sandwich about 5 minutes ago.
What kind of sandwich was it?
Soaked in tears, pastrami on rye.
Oh,
my favorite. I make 5 of them and stay here during the week.
Meal prepping.
Yeah, it's smart. You keep a good budget that way.
True. Eating out's a scam.
And we stay in the barracks here during the week to keep the forge running. During the week, I should say. We're on rotating shifts, and it's a very complex system that we use in order to make sure everyone has a fair share and equal time spent engineering here at the Hydro Forge. But my shift had just begun when I showed up with a backpack full of sandwiches. Lucky me. Lucky me. to watch all of my friends have their faces ripped off.
Oh, oh God.
And their heads chopped off.
It is very, very sad, yes.
Why are you laughing?
Because it's hilarious.
Because you're kind of an ugly crier.
Right? He also laughs when he's nervous, so he's a hyena man. What did you expect?
Can you imagine how creepy that is?
That's so creepy.
You're like mortified. First of all, gnomes are 4 feet tall.
Yeah.
So you see this monstrosity that are normally known for their raids on innocent civilians, you know, Kolo.
Yep.
Bust through a door. Bloodshot eyes.
Yep. You're gonna be fine. Make me a sandwich.
You start crying and he's laughing at you.
You start crying and he's like, it sounds like he's enjoying it.
Perception check on this story.
To see if she's lying.
Yeah.
All right.
Could be crocodile tears.
Could be. I got a 26.
If I'm lying, I'm dying. So you do not believe that she's lying. Poor Gloriana.
Can we ask her questions?
You can ask her whatever you'd like. She's just there starting to calm down, though.
Okay, good. I was about to cast No Cause for Alarm on her.
Oh, yeah.
Gloriana. Sorry, Luton moves into the room.
Yes.
And flies up to her face or down to her face. Gloriana, did you notice anything before all of that happened?
It was just sort of a normal day. Everyone showed up to do what we always do, provide power and clean drinking water to the city. Before I knew it, this was happening everywhere. I tried to sneak out a couple of days ago. It was horrible.
What did you see when you tried to sneak out?
Oh, I hid behind some barrels. And this pale-looking, thin person, some wizardly person, walked by the room that I was hiding in. And as if that was not alarming enough, what followed behind it was a mechanical spider-like creature. Its back was a giant vat, like a glass jar.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Jake yep. Gyllenhaal.
And inside the jar were heads.
Ew.
Oh.
Of the people I knew. My friends. Faces staring back at me, their mouths chomping at the liquid inside the jar.
Oh, dear gnarly.
God. It was so different than book two. Where the scariest thing we had to deal with was kind of like a really cool time monster. Scotty D. I miss you.
Oh, man.
Did you see where the tall creature went?
I didn't. It referred to its master as Necromancer. It could talk. Mm-hmm. This spider carrying a jar full of heads. They were talking, the two of them. The Necromancer person said, Loveless and Ibrium will be arriving any day now with the shipment. I don't know who those people are.
Arriving here?
Arriving here with some shipment. I don't know what that means. All I know is that this necromancer made it clear that they were planning to kill whoever Loveless and Ibrium are.
Oh.
Parsis is trying to kill Loveless and Ibrium.
That's interesting.
That's what they said, yes.
How long ago did this happen?
3 days? I think that's my best guess. That's how many times I slept. I've been inside this whole time. There's no windows.
Are you the only survivor you've seen?
If you haven't seen anyone, then I must be.
We have not, unfortunately, seen any survivors, but we did clear a path out of here that's safe. Oh. So...
Are you saying...
Just don't take our boat.
I can leave. I can leave this place.
You should leave.
You will be free from this place. Is there any other questions we want to ask before we let it
yeah,
go?
Yeah.
Maybe before you leave. Oh,
thank you.
Before you leave.
Okay, fine.
What color was the juice in the jar?
Oh, it was this foul, like, clear, greenish liquid.
I'm gonna throw up.
Like if somebody strained out some vomit.
Oh, come on.
Scatological.
You've gone too far.
Scatological.
No, vomit is not. It's definitely not.
We sense some magic among you.
Oh. Well, that's probably this. And she pulls a gun out of her pocket, shoots you in the face.
Magic bullets.
Ah, you failed your perception check. No, she pulls out a potion. I usually keep this to work on the gearworks and the inner workings of the Hydroforge. Here, it will reduce your size, make it easier for you to crawl around in the tiny places.
Give it to Kal-El.
I give it to Luton and she disappears.
It's a shrinking potion.
Okay,
Luton would go to the size of a housefly if she drank it.
Okay, that could come in handy. Thank you.
Thank you.
And yeah, it's a greater shrinking potion for those of you keeping track of the loot.
How many servings?
One serving per potion.
How many calories?
Yeah. Well, shrinking potions really—it's negative calories, like a significant amount of negative.
Oh,
because minus 10,000 calories.
Oh, yeah, that's the magic.
And it is keto.
Keto friendly.
Oh, there you go.
You don't find that around Starbrew very often.
Lasts for an hour. Fourth level shrink spell. Nice.
Okay.
Wasn't there a door here? Where'd that go?
It's still there.
There's one
there.
It's in the hallway.
So
this door can take you out over the top of the cistern and down into the lower levels on the other side.
So this is how we get to where that giant jar, Jake Gyllenhaal jar, went.
I don't know where it is. If it's...
We've cleared everything above.
Then it must be in the final lower level of this place.
Okay.
The gear works.
Is there anything else you can tell us about the layout of this building, or...
Oh, sure. I certainly can. If you walk across the bridge across the cistern and go through the door there, you will see a stairwell that takes you down into the lower levels of the Hydroforge. Down there, if you take those stairs down, then you will be underwater. You will be in flooded tunnels that are underneath the Hydroforge.
What if we already drained those?
What? That's incredible. You were able to figure out the controls.
Well,
Shen follow five.
I know my way around the control console.
I was going to offer to do it for you.
Oh, she could have done it for free. Narnia's like, I know how to walk across a keyboard.
That's good.
At the end of those tunnels, it will take you into the turbine gearworks, which will then lead you, well, I suppose, into the final pump room. So you have a cistern, a giant tank about 60 feet or 30 feet across, and then the water tunnels are just an area where excess water collects so it doesn't drown out the rest of us. All these can be pumped empty, and that actually opens up onto the river. So it's the excess water that's collected that isn't used for the power generation process goes in there. But it sounds like you've already figured out the command to empty them. Past there, you go through the undercog gearworks mechanism that's generating all the power, and then into the pump room. That is what you would be able to see.
What about this ladder here? Just take us to the roof?
That takes you to the roof, yes.
Is that the hatch that we couldn't open?
Yeah.
Right.
That we could have bypassed so much.
But that lock
Yeah, that was. Okay.
Anything else you want to ask her about that would be helpful? This is interesting, though, because...
Yeah.
Parsis saying that he's trying to kill Loveless and Ibrium to remove them out of the picture. I don't even care about the why. That's just nuts.
I'm very curious about the why. What are his motives for that? Varg is going to ask, is there any automated security in the lower levels that we should be aware of?
None whatsoever. That's just a normal work area. You've already made it through security at that point.
The zombies.
We don't normally employ zombies.
Okay. I can't think of anything else to ask her, so maybe let her safely go.
Does she need any rations or anything?
She just ate a sandwich 5 minutes ago. Still give away our rations.
It'll take me about 15 minutes to get back home from here.
Hi. Right. Thank you.
So I can just go up and out?
Yep.
Oh,
just trying to be a nice criminal. That's
thank
all.
You so very much.
Make sure you tell people we're not criminals.
In fact,
we're heroes.
Tell no one what you saw here.
Oh, if that's what you'd like, as then
ominous.
That is what I will do.
If you do, we'll know.
All right.
Kairos, what?
Yeah.
Very well. Whatever you say, sir. Please don't hurt me.
Be gone.
I don't trust him.
Don't hurt him.
And she be gone.
Why don't you trust her?
You don't trust anyone. You even rolled a decent roll.
You passed a perception check.
I don't trust him.
Did he?
Exactly.
Oh.
And Gloriana
takes
her leave of the Tinwound Hydroforge, a.k.a. her waking nightmare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys are heroes.
Yay!
Do we see anything else in that room that's usable?
Nope.
Valuable?
We see her transform into Parsis.
Joke's on you.
Parsis in there. Jake Gyllenhaal. Jake Gyllenjar's on the outside with Jake Gyllenhaal.
Dang, we gotta go to this lower level. I'm nervous because I feel like the water was stopping them from being able to come back up in a way, but maybe not.
They went down in it.
I know, that's what I was thinking. That's weird, isn't it?
No, he's a magic dude.
He is a necro. What do they need heads for?
Yeah, in why are their heads in there?
And why are they eating the liquid? Why are they keeping it awake?
I think they're zombied.
But what would be the purpose? This thing, the...
jar?
No, maybe this person said that they were eating the fluid.
Yeah.
Maybe it's candy apple
She
flavored.
Said their mouths were working open and shut like they were eating the fluid.
Oh, like they were. It was green apple. It was a simile.
Sour apple?
Like they were trying
to
talk.
It would not a simile. It would be I forgot what that's called, but yeah.
A metaphor?
No, it wouldn't be a metaphor.
A personification, but it's like a human, whatever.
Yeah. I don't know. But anyway.
An anthropomorphic reference?
Maybe. But they weren't consuming it. They were just in there.
Just
a jar full of heads.
It looked like they were trying to talk.
What would they need heads for?
Yeah. The zombies weren't headless, were they?
Some of them were.
Yeah. Why would they take some heads and not the others?
Maybe it's like a battle thing. Like you put heads outside your city walls.
I feel like we're about to find out. It's going to be horrible.
Know. Yeah, he's going to be lobbing zombie heads at us.
Chomping zombie heads.
Like head chompy heads. He's throwing like chain chomps at us. From Mario.
Yeah.
Chain chomps.
Yeah.
I hated those.
Chain chomps are worse.
Okay.
Let's go.
Let's do it.
Let's
see what we do. Let's go kill something.
Argue first.
You go through the door to the cistern, which has a door that leads back into the chemical filtration room. And the cistern, what you see are steel walls of a circular room form a massive cylindrical tank, normally filled with water. A single catwalk extends over this empty tank, leading through the dead center of it. A hushed silence permeates this room as you look over the edge of the railing of this catwalk. And you see all the way down to the bottom of a 40-foot deep cistern, a damp, wet bottom floor and a drain pipe where all of the water has been emptied out of this normally full cistern. The ceiling is 20 feet above you, and at the end of the catwalk is another door beyond that, which you know is the stairwell that leads down into the lower basement. And at the very bottom of the cistern, you can see a hatch 40 feet down from where you're at in the southwest corner of the cistern. So you're currently walking west across the cistern to the far door. In the southwest corner at the bottom is another hatch. And the last thing is I need a perception check from everybody who's on the catwalk. Even though you're in exploration mode, I want a full...
What if Varg can't search right now?
Varg, except from Varg, yeah.
That's what I figured.
18, terrible. Embarrassing.
Terrible.
32 total.
Whoa.
26.
Not terrible.
Who got over a 26? Kairos and Luton. You spot the outline of a corpse at the bottom of the tank.
Arnar.
The outline of one? Like a police outline of it? Or
no, like you spot a corpse at the bottom of the tank.
What does it look like?
It looks like a drowned corpse.
No identifying features that we can...
We'd have to get closer.
It is wearing a tin-wound Hydroforge uniform.
Okay.
Head still on or head still off?
Head still on.
Okay.
Luton, do you want to jump down there?
Oh, you can fly.
Can I fly down
and
look?
We gotta tie ropes together and
you can fly all the way down there and look.
Be very careful. Fly right back if there's danger.
So Luton flies alone down to the bottom of the emptied cistern?
Not all the way down, but close enough to see.
Luton should be at the bottom of the cistern now.
Okay.
What can I see?
All of this level has been uncovered for you guys thanks to Gloriana's descriptions. And what you see is this body at the bottom of the cistern, and if you search it...
Whoa. Oh, man. Be careful. Be careful with searching. I don't know that you should try to explore this by yourself.
You find a lockbox that isn't locked, and when you crack it open, it has 500 gold pieces in it.
Shut up!
Someone buried treasure?
A.K.A. the week's payroll for the people in the Hydroforge.
Okay.
Oh, it's payroll manager.
I mean, they don't need it anymore.
So what you're saying is yoink.
I am saying yoink.
Yeah, I second the yoink.
Okay. Yoink 100%. Has been seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Yoink.
Yoink.
Fine.
The yoink passes.
Yeah.
So you may add 500 gold pieces to your inventory. Yeah.
The yoink passes.
What you see is somebody who tried to run off with the coffers and fell into the cistern.
And now we're running off with the coffers.
And drowned.
But we're better than this guy.
You yeah. are yeah. outlaws.
Yeah. Yep.
And, I mean, you
know, play stupid game, win stupid prizes.
And then you also see the door in that southwest corner, a 10-foot wide hatch that opens up into the tunnels.
Oh, I love hatches.
Am I detecting any magic from there?
No.
Okay.
You're not detecting any magic.
Can I?
Until you go to the far eastern wall of the cistern, if you're detecting all around, and you detect multiple sources of intense magic coming 30 feet away from you through the walls.
Okay.
And you feel that energy reflected back as your own magic is being detected.
Oh, whoa. Shit. I fly back.
Fly me back. To the moon.
I immediately leave.
You immediately leave, and I immediately end episode 105. As we'll find out what happens.
We've been discovered. China.
God, China knows you're here.
Yes, what a great callback.
Now all of Hydro Forge knows you're here.
Yeah. Good. I'm okay with
great
that,
job,
though, because we're still up on the catwalk.
Right, we're not, and I'm getting away, hopefully.
Throwing Pyronite down there.
You get away.
I got
you're
away.
Up on
okay.
top of the catwalk now. Ooh, what's going to happen next week?
I don't know.
You guys, 500 gold.
So awesome. Bye, Thunder Buddies.
Bye.
Bye.
Dice of Thunder and the Dice of Thunder podcast uses trademarks and or copyrights owned by Paizo Inc. used under Paizo's community use policy. We are expressly prohibited from charging you to use or access this content. Dice of Thunder and the Dice of Thunder podcast is not published, endorsed, or specifically approved by Paizo. For more information about Paizo Inc. and Paizo products, visit paizo.com.